already on the phone right now is author James Rowlands. His new book, Trust No One, is out on the 24th, and he's on the phone right now. Hey, James, how are you?
Hey, thanks for having me back on your program.
No problem. So I was a little worried about you because I didn't see a book last year, and I don't see a Sigma book this year. I know we got The Great Standalone. Did you take a little break from Sigma, take a little break from writing?
Well, no, I've been doing sort of a side project. I've been doing a high fantasy series.
Oh, okay.
And the first three books have been out. The fourth book I just finished and turned in. That'll be out later this year. So when I started my career, I was doing fantasies and standalone thrillers. I was doing under two different pen names. Eventually, everybody sort of figured out James Rowlands and James Clemens were the same person. So I decided at this point, since the ruse has been exposed, I'm going to do my fantasy under the James Rowlands name. But I'd like to return to my roots. So I thought, I'm going to return to my roots as a standalone thriller writer. So I wrote the standalone. But I do have another Sigma book already in the works.
Oh, okay.
We'll see that hopefully out in another, hopefully, 10, 11 months.
Oh, sweet. I was getting a little worried because as I read this book, I mean, it's a great standalone book, and I'm thinking this almost could have been a Sigma story, too.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has those Sigma elements. Goal is still to be popcorn entertainment. You know, I want people to, you know, have a group of characters that are run through a grist mill. In this case, it's a group of students from the University of Exeter that are in this university program so basically a postgraduate degree studying witchcraft, which sounds weird, but it's actually a real program.
Yeah.
University of Exeter in the winter of 2024 started this new postgraduate degree program in witchcraft. I thought that's sort of weird. I'm going to put some students in there. I'm going to shove this strange centuries-old book into one of their hands and sent them on a run across Europe while being accused of murdering their professor. So it's just a big, it's a big adventure story, a lot of history, a lot of weird science. So basically it's a Sigma with just a new cast of characters.
Yeah, Sharon Kerr, she's an American student, Duncan Maxwell, and a few others. Like you said, they race across Europe. The bad guys are right on their tails, and for some reason they think they've lost them, and every time they seem to show up, which tells us there's a mole somewhere, James, telling them what's going on.
Exactly. It's got to be that. It's got to be that mystery.
Yeah.
It's got to be something that, how are they figuring that out? So the whole goal, of course, is to have a big twist surprise down the line, which I hope catches people by surprise. It did a lot of my critique writers who I sort of workshop my books through. They were all sort of shocked at a twist. So hopefully my readers will too.
Yeah, and you do what you always do in these books. You put, like, historical facts, real facts, and then in the end you always kind of just give an overview of things, too, like what are real, what's not. So is any of this – I kind of skimmed through that stuff, but how much of this is real and how much of this is not real?
Exactly, and I apologize for the booming little grandfather clock behind me. I muted
I didn't even hear
everything
it
around me except for my grandfather clock. But yeah, everything is I like to mix fantasy, science fiction, science facts, historical facts. I'm always looking for the historical mystery. In this case, it's all about this strange figure that was quite famous in his time, the Count of Saint Germain. This man sort of appeared in during the time of just before the French Revolution in France, and he sort of appeared out of nowhere. He spoke a dozen different languages. He was a painter, a violinist, a scientist. Supposedly, he was claimed that he could remove flaws from diamonds. You can find him mentioned in the writings of Voltaire, Mozart, Casanova. But what's really weird about his story is that even after the man supposedly died, sightings of him continued long after his supposed death. So the rumor became that he had figured out the elixir for immortality. Even up to 1972, there was a French public figure, Richard Chanfrey, who appeared on television and claimed he was indeed this immortal count. So again, this... wonderful little historical mysteries. I just love trying to, what is the kernel of truth behind that? Why do people believe that? Could there be some truth behind that? Where did this guy come from? And so, again, just a nice historical mystery for me to explore within the pages of a thriller.
When you come up with the idea, like in this one, the Saint Germain's Diary, do you come up with that idea first, then research Saint Germain and everything that's true and false about him, or do you write the book first and then do the research, or kind of a little of both?
It starts out basically with me just having my antenna up. I'm always looking for, you know, those seeds that are going to become a story. I'm looking for that weird science that makes me go, what if, where's that headed? How can that be a threat to us? I'm looking at those pieces of history that end in a question mark, something I can maybe explore within the pages of a novel. And so I just collect them. I had a whole journal on Saint Germain sitting in my idea box for probably close to a decade. Didn't know what to do with them. And then I found out about this, read about this postgraduate degree program starting at the University of Exeter, which is, by the way, considered one of the most haunted cities in the UK. So I thought, this is sort of a, you know, I could probably piece this together. I can see some, you know, somebody working at this in this program, and maybe they come across, you know, some hints about Saint Germain. So that then the snowball begins to build. I begin to see how, and you know, maybe I can thrust this, the secrets of Saint Germain into the hands of one of these students and send them on the run.
Well, it's a great book, and like I said, there's lots of twists and turns in your typical James Rollins fashion. I love the cover of your books too. The little, it looks like a key, but it's more like a globe or a scepter on the front of it.
Yeah, I mean, I just love the whoever does my cover designs for HarperCollins, William Morrow. They do a beautiful job.
Yeah.
I mean, so many times, you know, I hear complaints from other authors saying, oh, I just really don't really like my cover. But over the years, they always present these covers, and very few times have I ever had any comment upon them beyond fantastic. So they did a beautiful job with this cover.
How are the covers from other countries that you publish in? Are they just as
sometimes sharp? They don't make a lot of sense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I look at the cover, that can't be possibly my book, because, you know, the one book, there was one of my fantasy novels. They have a, you know, a big dragon on the front cover, and nowhere in my fantasy novel does a dragon appear. So again, it makes me wonder, you know, why they chose to put a dragon on the cover of a book that has no dragons in it.
What's the relationship with, now obviously the U.S. release is your biggest release, but you have contracts, I assume, with other countries that aren't associated with HarperCollins and Morrow.
Oh yeah,
that own the rights. So
at this point, I'm publishing about 40 different languages, so it's a few more countries than that. And, you know, I've got a great foreign editor who markets my books abroad, brilliant guy, and he's done a great job. I mean, he's, you know, I'm basically a bestseller in many of the European countries, especially Italy, because a lot of my books take place in Italy. I've been invited by my Italian publisher to do tours out there, same with my Portuguese publisher and my French publisher. So it's fun seeing these stories, you know, and how they're interpreted in other nations. Again, most of my heroes are sort of, you know, they're American heroes, but they I do have sort of an international cast. I love writing ensemble stories where I take different people from different castes and different races and different backgrounds and different nations and just, you know, shoving them all together and seeing how they struggle to survive one of my grist mills.
Well, I guess my question was going to be, for all these different countries, are they allowed to edit at will? If there's some things in there that they don't quite agree with, or do they come back to you and then you have to edit for each country, or how does that work?
Pretty much they have a translator, and the translator will occasionally ask me questions. Mostly it's just sort of from, you know, is this what you mean by this word? Is this the word we use in our language? Is this the closest you think that is the appropriate word I should be using for this book? So they're minor questions like that, but generally not big editorial questions, except for one Japanese editor found a flaw in one of my novels that nobody else caught. So he was able to correct it in the Japanese edition. Everybody else has that flaw in it, except for the Japanese edition of the book.
And do you have copies of all your books in all the different languages in all the different countries?
I do. I have a whole bookshelf with all the different, you know, at least one copy of every country edition of the book, which is a great deal of fun to look at.
People can go to jamesrollins.com. You're going out on a quick little six-city tour starting on the 24th.
Exactly. It'll be fun. I haven't been out on the road for about a year, so it'd be fun to go back out there and meet everybody out there and you know, share this book and share what's going on in my life.
Did you sign? Do you read Q&As? Do you take questions? What's a James Rollins book signing like?
typically, I don't like to do readings. I always help, unless you can do funny voices, you probably shouldn't be reading your own book. Because I've found that some readers, some writers rather, when they try to read their book, they're rather drab, and I have a tendency to fall asleep during the book talks. So I generally just give a little talk about the books, you know, where it came from, some anecdotes about the creation of the story, then I open up for Q&A, and then we do the signing.
And you have to be careful, I guess, with the Q&As, because a lot of people may not have read the books, and you don't want to give too many spoilers, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, we do put a big spoiler warning, you know, don't spoil anything for people that haven't read it.
Yeah, especially when it's just coming out and you're just going out on tour, unless you're like me and you get an early copy.
Hopefully at this point nobody will you know, announce the surprise twist later on, occurs later on in the book.
I was looking on your website. Is there still a Sigma series in the works? What's going on with that?
Yeah, for television?
Yeah.
Amazon still has the rights. The last I spoke, they had just finished the pilot. They were attaching talent, and that's the last I heard. So at this point, I don't know. I'm sure I'm the very last person to find out. I didn't even know they finished the pilot and writing the pilot until I learned that from my agent like a month after it was finished.
How long ago was that?
That was probably about 5 or 6 months ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they do a great job with these book series, and the Jack Ryan one and the James Patterson one, and God, I can't think.
Yeah, Amazon MGM does a beautiful job with their thrillers. Yeah. They do a wonderful job. So I look very much forward that this is fully greenlit and we see this going to production.
Hey, you're from Chicago. Are you a Bears fan?
Yeah, of course I am. And a White Sox fan, just so you know, just so we don't insult the Cubs fan. I was from the south side of Chicago, so I have to be a White Sox fan.
I lived there for a couple years, but I did radio there, and I never got the whole north-south side thing. I'm like, you guys have two – I understand it, but I don't. I'm like, you got two teams. If the Cubs win the World Series 1 year, everyone in Chicago should be happy, but turns out
– We are. We should say, between us, it's Cubs versus the Sox, and then it's the Chicago team against everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Bears had a great year, and it looks like they got a good nucleus for the future if things keep up the way they did this year.
Knock on wood. Yeah. Comes to Chicago teams, you always have to be a little worried.
Yeah, but that quarterback you guys got, man, he's badass.
Well, I've watched the Super Bowl, and looking at the young 24-year-old, he didn't show up very well in that Super Bowl.
No, he didn't, but what are you going to do?
He's young. He's immature. I mean, I can't imagine the pressure. If I was 24 and, you know, walking to the Super Bowl field, I would.
Hey, before I let you go,
that'd be hard.
Are you watching any of the Olympics?
I'm watching all of the Olympics. I tape, I record, I try to catch as much as I can.
Have you become?
I live up in Tahoe.
Yeah.
So we have some of our locals are actually on teams up there. So it's exciting to see these snowboarders and skiers that are local here.
I've become a big fan of the curling. That was awesome yesterday, even though the U.S. lost.
Yeah, we had a curling tournament here in Tahoe back a couple months ago, and it was just fascinating to watch. It's like, I want to do that.
It looks like it's very, I mean, you got to be in shape for that. I was watching the guy right after they're doing the little, you know, with the shelf, the brooming, and then they're just like trying to catch their breath after that whole thing. That's crazy.
It's a weird sport.
It is.
I spent a couple of years growing up in Canada, so, you know, curling was very popular in our local little Chatham, Ontario. And I still, at this point, thought it was the weirdest looking sport. You know, seeing these guys, you know, using brooms on ice and chasing those little things that sliding across the ice.
Any other sports? I mean, you said you like it all, but is there like one or two that you particularly like more than anything else?
Personally, myself, again, the winter time is all skiing for me. So I try to hit the slopes at least 3 times a week, even though the snow's been pretty atrocious this time of year. In regards to sports, I'm probably more a basketball fan because the Sacramento Kings, where I had my veterinary clinic, they had a wonderful few years early on. So I'm a big supporter of the Kings.
Sweet. Well, trust no one. is out on 24th from Morrow. James, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Good luck with everything, and we'll probably talk to you again next year when the Sigma book comes out.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.